Today, we welcome from Logan Health, we have a nurse practitioner, Julie Cook. Hi.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah,
sure,
good morning,
glad you're here.
Good morning.
So let's make sure everybody understands the difference between a nurse and a nurse practitioner.
Well, a nurse has a undergraduate degree as a Bachelor of Science in Nursing, mm-hmm. and a nurse practitioner goes on to get their master's or a doctorate degree in nursing and then specializes in either primary care, family practice, women's health care, acute care nursing, all sorts of avenues.
So you can do a lot of stuff that a doctor can do.
We can.
Yeah, so yes. When I have a doctor's appointment, sometimes I go in and I see a nurse practitioner.
I do too. Yeah. I mean, particularly if it's a last minute thing and I'm feeling lousy and
Good. Yeah. I'm glad we can help out.
Yeah, I get it as a follow-up to something that's already happened.
Right.
So. But it's all right. So specifically, we're going to talk today about cervical cancer. And I'm not sure that men really understand what that is. Can you help us out here?
What cervical cancer is, it's abnormal cells that line the cervix. The cervix lies right underneath the uterus and attaches to the vagina.
Okay. So what happens is it gets cancer. How does cancer get in there?
The abnormal cells, just like any abnormal cells in our body, starts to grow slow and eventually become a tumor.
Okay. Now, I suppose, like other forms of cancer, the earlier you can catch it, the more successful.
Yeah.
So I guess the next question is, who's at risk for it?
Any woman with a cervix, basically.
Would be all women.
Exactly. But typically women between the ages of 21 and 65 and mostly between 35 and about 50, cervical cancer is very slow growing. And so, again, very easy to detect early if women come in for their screenings.
Okay. I also want to understand just how prevalent this thing is. It sounds terrible.
Right. So it's about 14,000 women per year that get diagnosed with cervical cancer in the United States. And we're estimating that about 4,200 women died last year alone of the cancer.
Is that of the total population?
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay. So with 330 million or something like that, 1,400.
Right.
But you don't want to be one of the 1,400.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah, those statistics are fine as long as it's somebody else. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. Or somebody else's wife or girlfriend or daughter.
Right.
Yeah. So I guess the big thing we want to understand is, first of all, I guess we get, and we understand how we get it. We just get it. There's no...
Right. If you have increased sexual partners, you're more at risk. If you start having sexual activity at a younger age, women who smoke are more at risk. So there are some things that, you know, can increase that risk.
So this isn't necessarily a genetic disposition. Huh?
It can be. There are about 95% of cervical cancers are related to the human papillomavirus, which we should talk about later.
Okay.
But about 5% can be hereditary, and we're not really sure how that happens, but we think it has something to do with the inability to fight off that human papillomavirus.
Papilloma.
Right.
That sounds like a dance.
It is.
I know.
It's not.
Or it's a very bad one.
Yeah, right, correct.
Right.
So, you say we're going to dive into that one later?
Yeah.
Okay. Next thing we want to talk about is once you get it, what do you do? And what are your chances of surviving?
Right.
We'll talk with Julie Cook about that after this. Today, we're talking about cervical cancer, and we're talking about it with Logan Health nurse practitioner Julie Cook. Okay, so somebody has it.
Right, okay.
What do we do next?
Sure. So what we recommend is women either have their screenings every 3 years if they're between 21 and 30 and every 5 years after that.
Okay.
So typically we're finding it earlier in the early stages, even the precancer stages. If we find it in a precancer stage, we can take care of it or monitor it, because what happens is a lot of these women will not go on to develop cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So if we monitor it more closely, we can watch that. If they start to have abnormal cells on the cervix, then we bring them in and we can do procedures in the office to take away those abnormal cells.
We can actually get rid of them?
We can actually get rid of them.
Wow.
Before it becomes cancer.
As far as the screening, is this the PAP?
This is the PAP test.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
This is the PAP test, and we also do a PAP test with a co-test called an HPV test looking for these high-risk subtypes of the virus that we know causes these cancers.
Okay, and so you say that every 3 years you have a test and you can
correct.
Do comparisons and
yes.
see if there's progress or whatever.
Right. Right.
So
okay.
I would imagine that early one that would be the base level then.
The early one is it's best to detect it early and we can take care of it. Should it develop into a full cancer, then there are procedures that we can do surgery-wise if a woman is still wanting to have a family. Mm-hmm. If she's done having a family, there can be a hysterectomy. If the cancer has spread to organs outside of the cervix, then we're talking about radiation and chemotherapy.
I want to go back here a little bit to this pre-cancer thing because this sounds like the key.
Correct.
And how do we, first of all, is there any indication a woman would have that maybe she's got something like this going on?
That's a good question. It is so slow progressing that there are few symptoms. However, if a woman should have bleeding with intercourse or if she should develop bleeding in between her periods, that's a good sign that maybe something's going on and she should definitely be seen for an evaluation.
So this is not normal.
This is not normal.
Okay. And if something like that comes up, I would think the fear factor would be an issue. Mm.
Correct. That is good. Yeah.
Now what about false tests or whatever? Because I know that strikes terror into a woman when, we need to see you again.
Right.
They've done a lot to alleviate that now, haven't they?
They have done a lot to alleviate that, and there's very few false tests. And so if it comes back slightly abnormal with very mild changes, we just follow them up in 1 year and
okay.
repeat the test.
All right.
And then, so you promised to talk to us about papilloma.
Yes.
Is it time to talk about papilloma?
So the human papilloma virus is a virus that has about 150 subtypes. And what we know about this virus is that there's several of the subtypes that are very aggressive and cause cancers in the mucous membranes. So not just the cervix, but it can cause cancer in the esophagus, the mouth and throat, the vagina, the rectal, anal area. So they've developed a vaccine that's been around now for a long time, very safe and effective, that covers 9 of these subtypes and several of the subtypes that are the aggressive ones that can lead to cervical cancer.
Now, several of the parts of the body you mentioned
right.
aren't exclusive to women.
Correct.
So
Correct.
Does that mean men can be, this papilloma can hit
yes,
us?
Yes, this can hit men too. And so really men are... we recommend that boys and girls between the ages of 11 and 12 start the human papillomavirus or the Gardasil vaccine series.
Wasn't that something? I remember hearing
Have
something.
Have you ever had anything like that?
No.
Me neither.
But I'm old, you know.
Well,
I missed out on it.
Well, I mean, but
that, what
is
about
there something? Yeah, we
older
old guys
can do. Or,
well, you should just be also monitoring, and if you have anything that is going on that's out of the ordinary, like bleeding or pain or...
You might
well,
have.
Should be evaluated.
But when you get old, you have pain. You know, that can be misleading.
So, you know, for a couple of guys like us that never had the test, what would happen if we got it?
You know, men fortunately can clear the virus pretty easily.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you would have had symptoms by now.
Okay.
And I don't think you need to worry about that.
I like that.
So as
one
far
less
as,
thing for us to worry about.
As far as men in the audience, don't worry about it unless if you're having symptoms.
If you're having symptoms, correct.
Okay.
And
all
so,
right.
you know, ulcers in your mouth or any rectal bleeding.
Yeah. Well, I used to get canker sores and stuff when I was younger, but it hasn't happened in a long time, you know.
Wow.
And I always wondered why that is, you know, too much citrus fruits, you know, dented canned goods. I've heard a million stories.
Robin, you
that.
Shouldn't have eaten those frog legs.
I guess.
Those toads that you were touching the other day. Julie Cook is our guest. She's a nurse practitioner at Logan Health. And the big question is, since this is Cervical Cancer Awareness Month, is how do we keep from getting this terrible thing? And Robin will ask you about that next.
Today we're talking to one of our public servants from Logan Health, nurse practitioner Julie Cook, and January is Cervical Cancer Awareness Month. We certainly have become more aware of it here throughout the program today. Now, does this relate at all to cervical cancer relate at all? I've seen advertisements for talc, talcum users for long periods of time. are prone to some sorts of cancer.
Right. That was the question is that linked to ovarian cancer?
Oh, ovarian cancer. Okay. Now, we're talking about cervical cancer this morning. Is there anything that can be done to prevent it?
Yes, there is.
Okay.
Yes, you can, first and foremost, you can get your HPV vaccine, as we talked about. And then you should get regular screening. So women should start their pap and pelvic exam screenings at age 21. And every 3 years is recommended for those women. And then after age 30, we do a pap with a cancer co-test or an HPV screen every 5 years. You can also limit your number of sexual partners, use condoms, you know, quit smoking if you're smoking.
Yeah, that's always, they always ask you when you go in for any kind of procedure, do you smoke? Because I guess that inhibits the healing process too. Now, as far as the cervical cancer goes, and you said the initial check for women would be at 21, presumably that would be a normal base level that they can look back at every 3 years.
Yes.
And because I've heard that sometimes there's a normal thickening or whatever, but if they've never checked you before, you might suspect a problem. And that might be people that are moving into the area or whatever that don't have continuity. But can you get medical records from their former doctor?
Yes, we can, and we do appreciate getting those records so we have comparisons to look at.
Okay, so screening sounds like it's the key to prevention.
Yes.
Anyone listening, how can they schedule a screening if it's time for them to get started or they're overdue?
Right. They can call Logan Health Women's Care
at
752-8282 and get scheduled.
All right. Now, as far as the frequency, again, you mentioned starting at 21 every 3 years, but you said it's more prevalent with people 30 to 50, something like that.
Right.
Is the frequency different, once again, that as far as getting tested?
Well, the testing frequency increases to 5 years because we're testing the cells of the cervix, but we're also testing for the high-risk HPV virus.
Okay.
So that's why it can go to a little lesser frequency. But we do recommend women come in for a yearly health maintenance or a yearly routine physical so that we can, you know, find out if they're having any signs or symptoms that make us concerned or make us think that, you know, possibly there could be something else going on.
Have you noticed anything? People, they're going to notice it themselves to begin with. Well, this has been very informative, Julie.
Yeah.
You've done your part for Cervical Cancer Awareness Month, and it's great to have you here.
Thank you for having me.